My name is April Ryan, White House correspondent for the American Urban Radio Networks for the past 20 plus years. I'm also the author of the new book, At Mama's Knee, Mothers in Race and Black and White. Well, I've been asked to answer a couple of questions. And question one, you hold the distinction of being part of the lone Black press presence in the White House. Yeah, that's true. There are some people who come in and out, but I've been the presence there asking questions about Black and urban America solely, basically, for 20 years. And the rest of the question, how is being a self-described Black woman from Baltimore honed your skills as a journalist? Well, Baltimore is a very special place. It teaches you to keep it real, but at the same time, you go back to broadcast journalism 101, where it taught you the five W's, the who's, what's, when's, where's, and why's. I've learned over the years to just cut the fluff and get right to the chase. And really what inspired me to hone my skills and not necessarily be intimidated by the magnitude of working at the White House is Jerry Lopes, my boss, the president of AURN. He told me when I first came to the White House, he said, look, just treat it like it's reporting on City Hall, but just a little bit bigger. And he's been right ever since. It is a different job, but you know, you have to cut through the weeds and just get straight to the facts and get to the meat. And then you build the story out from there. Question two, as a working mother, what do you add to the talk to prepare your daughters to enter the professional world? Well, I've given them the talk about race matters and how to navigate those murky waters, but I also teach them about issues of assimilating. And when I say assimilating, some people say, oh, it's a bad word, but no, it's not necessarily a bad word because we need to know how to carry ourselves in all areas of life. We're not in a box. We have to walk in various streets, avenues, what have you. So when I think of assimilation, I think about the fact that when you see me or see my children, the first thing you see are Black young ladies or a Black woman. So with that, I try to bust the stereotypes open. And that's one of the reasons why I named my daughter, my oldest daughter, the name that she has, Ryan Tyler. I didn't want anyone to know if she was a man, woman, Black or white by reading her name on a resume. I wanted her to have a chance at life, regardless of race or gender. But my second child, she's got Tyler, but in her middle name. Well, no, Tyler's in her first name. So again, if you see the name Tyler, but if you see Grace in the middle, you know she's a girl. But assimilation is really a big issue when it comes to society. And in the book, we talked to a couple of people about that, to include Lonnie Love, who talks about the issue of braids. And my children wear braids right now. And we have to figure out, you know, is that going to be appropriate for the work world that they work in? Because some places you can't wear braids. Other places it's okay. So we just have to deal with it as it comes. But that's a part of assimilation, the talk on assimilating. Question three, how is it that Michelle Obama, one of the most visible people on the planet, could wander around unnoticed while outside of the White House? Wow. That goes to chapter two of my book. It's called Born a Statistic, and her best friend, Valerie Jarrett, the former senior advisor to President Barack Obama and best friend of the Obamas, you know, gave me that story. She would go on the walks with the former first lady outside of the White House that would break out of the bubble. People did not recognize her, this statuesque, beautiful 6-foot woman. They didn't recognize her. And she did have Secret Service detail with her. They weren't too close, but they were not too far either. So the story is very compelling. And Valerie Jarrett said, if you don't recognize Michelle Obama, that goes to show Black women in this nation are invisible. So I want you to read that chapter. It's very interesting. It's at the very start. Question four, do you believe the level of admiration and reverence by white liberals, progressives for the Obama family is entirely genuine? Yes, I believe there are people who genuinely care about the Obama family. And also, I believe that there are people who don't care for the Obama family for whatever reason there is. And yes, race could be folded in that for some people. And then the next part of the question was the anti-Bush sentiment so high that his successor would have enjoyed an 8-year honeymoon. Oh, no, 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 no. There was not a honeymoon for Barack Hussein Obama. From day one, they did not want him in. And we've heard that from politicians to broadcasters to this person to that person. But there's a chapter in the book that talks about presidents and their mothers. And there was one president by the name of Truman, President Truman, who people thought would go down in history as one of the top presidents because he integrated the military. But that was not the case. Because he integrated the military, people looked at him differently and they did not rank him as one of the top presidents. And so many people believe President Barack Obama would have gone down in history and still does go down in history as one of the best presidents in this country. But they say not because because of race, because of matters of race. So question five, can you unpack the misconceptions of an all-inclusive feminist movement? Misconceptions of an all-inclusive feminist movement. Well, you know, unpack the misconceptions. Feminism is real. I mean, people look at women in a different vein. Women are now, particularly minority women, we are leading as the head of household. We are leading now as sole provider. So when it comes to fighting for the family, it's women. When it comes to dealing with a lot of things in the home, it's women. When it comes to the workforce, a lot of times women are really the strong piece in there as well as the men. So we permeate every facet of life, and there is a struggle for women because women do not make the wages that men do. Women do not have the equality on almost every level that men have. So therefore there is a struggle, there is activism, there is a fight. Question six. On the heels of the successful Women's March on Washington, what message do you have for white women protesting Donald Trump? Wow. Well, the message for white women protesting Donald Trump, it's a message for all women. This is a time of activism. And when I say it's a time of activism, I think about Harry Belafonte. And I talked to Harry Belafonte, the activist and entertainer, the icon, the humanitarian. And he said basically from a conversation with W.E.B. Du Bois, he said, when you experience great pain, he said, that's when you hit rock bottom. And that's when radical activism happens, which fosters change. So whether it's white women, black women, any woman, they are fighting for change and activism. So that's the message on the heels of the Women's March on Washington. Question seven, what is the enduring cultural legacy of America's first black family? Well, it's the visual, because there are people who had a mindset that the only people who could be president were white people. And I know for a fact my children, who are black children, who were born at a time of George W. Bush, knew George W. Bush was president. But when they met President Clinton during the election cycle, they said to me, Mommy, was he vice president? I said, no, don't you ever say that. And they said that because Barack Obama was a black man and Joe Biden was a white man. I said, no. So the mindset has changed. There is an enduring cultural legacy. It lets us know that we can still reach for the unexpected. It also put a spotlight on the ills of black America, black family, to see a black family live in that White House. And yet there were still large numbers of negatives in almost every community. So by the ascension of Barack Obama going to the highest levels, to the highest office in the land, and then still having some of the highest numbers of negatives in almost every category for black people, the cultural legacy, the real permeating legacy is there. That family elevated everything positive being in that White House, visually, internally, but yet they also, because they rose so high, there was still a spotlight on the ills of the black community. And it continues because people are still looking, particularly at a time when we have number 45, Donald J. Trump as president. And question eight, you have covered four presidents. How will history remember President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama? Well, normally it takes 10 years to assess a president. And right now, as we are in the midst of President Trump trying to change Obamacare to Trump care, and you hear a lot of people going to various venues where congressional leaders are to protest, I believe there's a piece of legacy that they really have to be delicate with and how to handle, because people really actually enjoy the fact that their children can stay on their insurance until age 26. They also enjoy the fact that they're not going to be discriminated against when they go to a doctor if they have pre-existing conditions. But the devil is in the details, and also the high deductibles. And those are things that people are screaming about. But at the same time, a large portion of people would rather keep this and work on it, tinker it, instead of dismantling the whole thing and replacing it. And also the legacy. I mean, there's so many different things on criminal justice, on Africa, there's so many different things. Again, you can't really put a definition on it for a couple of years later. So let's see how it all lays out for President Obama. And then when it comes to First Lady Michelle Obama, you know, people thought it was a joke. Oh, why does she want to deal with kids going, you know, moving around and looking at labels? But, you know, it was a movement that really changed nutrition and how we looked at ourselves, and we looked at ourselves in a healthy, holistic way. And not only that, she brought an air of elegance to the White House. She was elegance, but yet real, real. She was touchable. She wanted to open the White House up to people. So I do believe that their ascension to the White House and the highest office in the land still has ripple effects, and it will ripple through history. So again, 10 years later, let's come back and talk about that. But again, it's been fun. April Ryan, At Mama's Knee, Mothers in Race in Black and White.